I want to kind of give you a little bit of a warning. What I'm about to preach today, Satan does not like to hear it. And I'll guarantee you, before we leave, there'll be some interruption. There'll be somebody's phone goes off or somebody's kid needs to be taken care of and you'll have to go out of here. There'll be something going on. Anytime I ever preach about the dark one, there's always something going on. This last few weeks, Satan has hampered us to help and clean and remodel our church. I cannot tell you the times that we have been pushed aside from doing something else. We had to do something else. And that's because God does not want this church to stand true to the Word of God. I mean, God wants this church, but Satan does not want this church to stand true to the Word of God. Satan does not want to have a band of brothers who are fellowshipping and close-knit together. He wants to disperse us. He wants to cause people to question things. God brought this to my heart the other day as I was reading it, and I wrote a message called "We Wrestle." In fact, I used a lot of another man's information because it was exactly what I wanted. And I heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr. says, "Well," he said, "you might not milk the cow, but you can certainly skim off the cream, amen." And skimmed a lot of cream as I've studied the Word of God this week. Last night before I went to bed, I went over and over and over and over Ephesians chapter 6 and listened to it as I laid in bed, and I just went over it. And I got a little MP3 player, and I just keep punching it and punching it and punching it. Go back to the same verse. I'm sure you kind of got dizzy last night. But I will promise you today, if you will take some of this information I'm about to give you, it will help you in your life. All of us have battles. All of us go through crazy things. If I had everybody on this side and everybody on this side, we would be here until the cows came in, amen, to listen to all the troubles and heartaches we've had this week. We have from victories. And God has blessed, and God has done some wonderful things in our hearts, and I've done some wonderful things in our church. When I'm talking about the physical plan of this church, and the things that have been done, and the things that have been accomplished because of God's people. But I want to kind of give you a little disclaimer there that there are troubles, and there are heartaches, and there are sorrows that all of us are going to have. To us Christians, our wrestling that we have is not as one who would, as the Greco-Roman wrestlers would throw around or to swing. The Christian contest is not between two who one hurls the other one down and holds him down until he's pinned. It is not against a face-to-face conflict to the face. Paul said, and if you'd take your Bible, please, and look at verse 12, that's my text verse. "For we wrestle..." What's the next word? "Not." We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Brother Rick, would you come here, please? This right here is flesh. And if I get my knife out and cut him, it would be blood. How many would like to see that today? Oh, brother. We do not battle. This is the wrong enemy. And so many people in churches today, Christian, good, godly Christian people are battling each other. And Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places." He said, that's where the battle is. We are wasting our time for battling brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, we're wasting time battling anybody. Now, of course, the Bible wants us to stand straight, and he talks about, man, you read the Bible, he said, stand, 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 therefore stand. He tells us we need to take our stand. But many people don't even know who their enemy is. When America began in the Revolutionary War, we knew who our enemy was. They all wear red. There's no question about they. In fact, if you are caught without your uniform, you're immediately hung or shot because you were not wearing the uniform of the country that you were fighting for. You and I remember Vietnam. Our enemy became women and children and people that they thought they were friends and literally blow themselves up and take a bunch of people with. You remember that? And the thing was, the Americans said, well, we didn't know if they're in the army or not. We don't understand. They came out at us and we befriended them and boom, they blew us up. In fact, even today we know that today in the ISIS and all this other junk. We don't know really who our enemy is. And that's a sad thing. And so today I want to talk to you about who your enemy is. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Paul writing here was indulging, making an allusion to the ancient game of Greece, which consisted of wrestling. We call it the Greco-Roman. I had a friend of mine that four times he was in the Olympics, he was a Greco-Roman wrestler. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, and I'd put my finger there, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's talking about, you know, when a guy is training for the Olympics, he's temperate. He makes sure that he is going to be careful about what he puts in his body. He's going to be he tempers himself and says, no, I'm not going to eat that chocolate cake. I'm not going to eat that Twinkie. I'm not going to eat that great big bowl of potatoes and gravy. I'm going to eat the steak. I'm going to eat the chicken. I'm going to eat the pork. I'm going to be very careful. I temper my body to make sure that I... And this is what he's saying. He's talking about how a man does in the war or in the game. And every man that striveth to mastery temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a, what's it say, corruptible crown. They would put put that crown upon their head that was made of leaves. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as it beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection. In other words, he said, I temper my body, bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I'm very careful with what I do in my life. I'm very temperate that I would not step over away from God and lose all the blessings God had for us. He said, I keep myself. If anybody's an athlete here, you understand about temperance. And you also understand that you know how to keep your body under subjection. I will not do that. I will be very careful about that. The Greek word here is pele, which denotes a wrestling or means struggling, a fight or combat. Paul the Apostle says, hey, we fight, we wrestle not. He said, we struggle not, we fight not in combat flesh and blood. Here he refers to the struggle or combat the Christian has to maintain in the Christian welfare, warfare. Are we in war as a Christian? Absolutely. We're tremendously in war. And then he said, not against flesh and blood. Galatians chapter 1, verse 16 says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the brethren, immediately I conferred with not flesh and blood. He said, I went to God over this thing. I conferred with God and said, dear God, how should I live? How should I do? What should I do? Now, the apostle does not mean to say that Christians have no enemies among them. Paul didn't say that we don't have anybody that oppresses us. Because we are all exposed to fiery persecution. All of us. There's always something going on. Nor that they had nothing to contend with. Mankind has to contend with the things of the carnal nature. Things that corrupt desires that we have of the nature which came along with us when we were born. All of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. At the point when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden together, sin passed upon all men who all sin. Every one of you, your sin nature. You have that thing in you. Even a baby has that sin nature. They're laying in bed screaming and crying. You wonder, what in the world? My father-in-law always said, oh, their pin is sticking them. He used to use diaper pins, you know, and there's always a pin sticking. He'd always say that about my boys. I said, yeah, Satan's picking them, amen. You go in there, you're, are you okay? Pick him up, everything's good. Lay him down. What are you doing? He's lying to you. He's all right. He's just lonely. He wants you. How many women suffer from that in your home? That's right. Amen. That's right. Pretty bad when you raise your hand, sister. Duh. Badly. Yeah. I still have them. They're all teenagers. What's going on here? Amen. That is the main controversy that is visible, the spirit of wickedness that seeks to destroy us. They were once source or origins of the spiritual conflict which they had been in. The warfare was maintained. But against, notice here it says, but against principalities. These can no doubt be whether the apostle alludes to here was the evil spirits. The word principalities refer to the principal ruler or the chieftain. They say, as you read the Bible, they say that there's an order in the angels. Michael was the what? Archangel. And he is the one that God called to many times to do certain things, come down this earth and tell people certain things. The Bible says over in Daniel that Michael the archangel was fighting Satan. I don't know how in the world you got her to go to the front seat. She ought to be in the back. Natalie, why don't you just take her in the back there? Yeah. Marcia, would you walk in the back? There you go, honey. Yeah. Yeah. So the Bible says that Michael, the archangel, was in battle for almost a month with Lucifer. Great battle going on in heaven. In fact, the power of Lucifer, the Word of God said that Michael, the archangel, darst not bring raving accusation against him. Remember, he disputed the body of Moses and all the scriptures like that? So we know that there is some kind of hierarchy in the evil spirit world. The Bible said the ruler of darkness of this world, the powers, those who had power to whom the name power was given, against the rulers of darkness of this world, the rulers that preside over the religions of ignorance in this world, of sin and about. You see religions and you say, why in the world would anybody ever believe in something like that? That is terrible. That's devilish. That's terrible. There's no peace there. Jesus Christ said that he came to what? Give us peace. So anytime you come into a battle in your life and you notice there's no peace, but there's this crushing, there's this fierceness, you say, oh, wait a minute. Oh, something's going on here. This is not right. When you see that in your home, what's going on here? See that in your church. Well, that's not of God. That's not of God. God is of peace and in joy and quietness. What in the world is that? Because we're going against the rulers of darkness in this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air. And who's that? Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, worketh in the children. You wonder why people are going so crazy? Guess what's happened? The powers, the rulers of darkness, are influencing these people to do those dastardly acts. The Bible said that Satan is the father of lies. I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired if I hear politics lie. Politicians lie. Where do you think they get that from? Now, this is darkness. Darkness is always the evidence of ignorance. on misery and sin. No description could be more accurate of the representative of malignant spirits that are ruling over the world of darkness. We are in a dark world today. People call good things bad and they call bad things good. Well, how do you think they get that from? The earth is dark. It's wretched. It's ignorant and it's sinful. It is such a dominion over as they would choose or they would cause, or the degradation, the woe of the pagan world, just such a foul and malignant spirit would delight in. You think Satan doesn't delight in the millions of babies that are born in America? I don't understand it. You know, a few years ago, when we didn't have all of the information that we do today and the videos that we have to do today, I can say, okay, there's some people just ignorant, but there's no reason for ignorance. God have mercy in our country. You see, that the dark world, the children of disobedience, is a wide empire. And they have chose to take, and it's consolidated these ages. It's sustained by all authority of the law. We have law people that are lawyers and are judges today that concur with evil. Are you kidding me? Sustained by all authority of the law, by all... it's just sickening. The power of selfishness. It's corrupt, it's base, with passions of base. No empire has ever so extended or so continued so long as the empire of darkness. Nothing on earth is so difficult to destroy. It has been going on since Adam and Eve. And you wonder why you're having a difficulty time. Yet the apostle says that it was on that kingdom that we're to make war against. Against that kingdom of the Redeemer was to be set up, and that was to overcome by spiritual weapons that he specifies. He said, here's your enemy. Now here's how you can battle it. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in a situation, most police officers carry an 870 shotgun. That's a Remington. It's just partner all of them have in their vehicles. And as a chaplain, we're given training to use an 870. I personally have an 870. And I practice with it the whole time. I use it all the time. Much more. And so I can do it in darkness. And I jumped in a patrol car. We had a situation that was pretty shaky about 3 or 4 years ago. And the officer punched the button. There's a little button on his dash, and he punched a button that shotgun rolls out. And he threw it to me. He said, "Here." I said, "Jack one in." And I went to jack one in. It was not an 870. It was a Savage, and it has a couple of different things on it. And boy, I was very uncomfortable the first minute I had that, because I wasn't sure where the safety was. I wasn't sure where the ejection. See, you got to know your enemy. You come to my house, I have a few weapons. I guarantee you, I know how to use those weapons. I am very familiar with it. I can do it in the dark. I got a couple weapons I could actually take apart and put together blindfolded, because I know my weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a church load of people who have no idea what their weapons are to go against this world that we are existing in today, and we are in trouble. You're having problems in your life, and you're having problems in your marriage, and you're having problems with your kids, you're having problems with this and that. You have no idea what's making my kid act like that. Are you crazy? I don't understand him. He does not look the way he should be. Yeah, well, hey, you know what? Guess what? You're not fighting him. You're fighting the powers of Satan, the darkness of this world that has blinded him. And I meet a lot of Christians that are blinded. He regards every Christian. Paul wrote, God, he expects every Christian to be a soldier. And not only to be a soldier, but know how to wage war in whatever way he could when he's attacked. I am attacked constantly. You're attacked constantly. And how I come up out of this thing is very important. Would you take your Bible? I saw this last night as I was reading the Bible. It's never occurred to me before in my life. I've been a pastor for over 46 years. I have preached this Word of God, I don't know how many thousands of times. I have read this Bible many, many times. But I found something, I heard something last night, and I underlined it in my Bible. Verse 16. Would somebody say the first two words? What does that mean? Talk to me. What does that mean? Above everything else. Or, this is the most important thing for you to know. Above all. Taking the shield of faith, whereby we be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. I said, good night. I'm going to preach on that. Above all, the most important thing. You ever get a new computer and it says, read this first before you plug it in? It's a pretty good idea to read it. When you buy a new weapon, it says, read this first. When you're going to make that wonderful whatever you're going to make, to bake or to cook, this is the first thing, the most important thing. That's what the Bible says. What is the most important thing? Above all things, what? The what? The shield of what? Of what? Of what? So, if you don't have faith, you're in great trouble. You see that thing that happened yesterday, and we're having all kinds of crazy trouble. In my heart, I knew that God would come through on this thing. Couldn't get a backhoe. Couldn't figure out where that water's coming from. But what kept this guy going? See, I'm telling you, man. What kept this guy going, got this? It's faith. I saw God do things before in my life. Oh, some of you young Christians, you're just starting out. You say, oh my goodness, I don't. And God is going to give you faith. Now, where do I get my faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Where should, above all things, the most important thing, get your faith? Hey, preacher, where do I get my faith? Reading the Scriptures. Romans 10:17, I believe. Read the Word of God. You're going to have trouble with those three boys you're raising. You're going to have trouble with your three boys you're raising. You're going to have trouble with your four boys you're raising. And how do you get through that thing? By faith. Above all, the most important thing, faith. Where do I get faith? Faith of reading the Word of God. I've got to have my Bible. Boy, I get in more trouble. If I don't read my Bible in the morning, if I don't get my man in the morning, if I don't get the Word of God, I have more troubles than you can shake a stick at. Go back to the warfare. That was just what I was thinking about. And it's 12:06. How can that be? I got so much to tell you. If you come back tonight, I'll start where I left off. The contest, therefore, was not primarily with people or with eternal corrupt tendency of the soul, which we have. Don't all of us have a corrupt internal corrupt tendency, don't we? Be honest with me. Don't we all have a corrupt something in there? Why do I have that? Why do I think that? Why, if I have to do that, and it's something to do with God, or something to do with Christ, or something to do with Christians, and I'm tired, I'll just take a break. But boy, if my friends or my club or my sport has something to do, I'll do it. I'll be a martyr for that. We used to say, I'm going to kill myself for the team. Don't lie to me. I know you guys are like that because that's the way I was, man. I'd go into stuff. I'd run into a cement wall if that was for the team. But not for Jesus. My Christianity was convenient. What's convenient for me? Well, I'm planning on going a trip. Well, I'm planning that. Yeah, I know, but we got a guy here working on this church and we need some help. Hey, preacher, I've always had this plan for 3 weeks. Coach calls me up. My child is 8 years old and we've got a soccer game and I know it's just the last minute, but can you come? Well, we are planning on, but we'll be there. Let me ask you this. What in the world would you change your church and change your love for God for a stupid soccer ball game that kid will probably never play the rest of his life? Are you an idiot or what? He said, but Pastor, you don't understand. I raised 3 boys. They never missed a Wednesday night, never missed a Sunday. My middle son was the MVP of the state basketball championship. Not bad. But he never missed a Wednesday, never missed a Sunday. Baseball is not that important. Soccer, not important. I've seen fathers lose their testimony. I've seen women go crazy railing at a ref. Are you kidding me? This is not the end of life. You don't have to be here. I've seen parents leave their children and let their coach curse and swear and say all kinds of smutty words, but that's okay. It's for the team. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hey, let's get real. We fight against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Wherefore? Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And don't tell me these are not evil days. To stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, stand therefore. Having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, you got to pick it up. A shield is not part of your armor. A shield is something you have to pick up. But that's the thing that'll shield you from all this junk that's going on in your life. God, we can't afford to tithe. No, you can't afford not to tithe, but we can't afford to tithe. And God says, you tithe anyway. I told you, I'll prove you. Here, we'll see if I will not open the window. You just prove you. I'll prove you. You do what I tell you to do. Pick up your shield. But Lord, I don't want my kids to miss out on some sport. Pick up shield faith. Shame on us who put sports over the above. Hey, you play sports in high school, Josh? You play sports in college? You playing sports now? Are you still playing football? Well, I guess your life was really important, wasn't it? Boy, people think that is. They think that's the God of life. I lost my family over sports. One of my boys, he lost his whole family over sports. Most important thing. Sports this. The only time I saw them was at sports. Don't ask me how they're doing spiritually. Isn't that the most important thing we do? That we are spiritual? We're going to live in heaven for billions and quadrillion years. What's so big about 4 years of sports? Hey, don't tell me. I love sports. I play football. Play baseball. I mean, I tell you what, I was a screamer. But you know what? That last day, I walked out of the locker room, hung up my spikes, never wore them again. I still have them. I still have my jersey. Looks like some moth got at it, all holy. Wow, was that important? Oh, the things of life. It seems so important to us, but after a while, they're like vapor. But the real thing is, hey, I remember that one guy I led to the Lord. I remember that young lady I led to the Lord. I remember that person that I encouraged them to come to church, and they became faithful in church. I remember that family. That's the most important thing of your life. Hey, you know what? Mamas, the only thing you're going to take to heaven is your children. That's it. That's all you're getting to heaven is your children. Dads, only thing you take to heaven is your children. We ought to live in such a way our children want to serve God and live the righteousness of God. Hey, we're in a battle. Father, speak to our hearts. How do I conclude a message like this? It's not even started. Oh God, please give us wisdom. Be with these folks, Lord, to be faithful to come tonight. And let them be taught the Word of God as they should be. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Let's all stand. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd like to know today, why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, Preacher, today I'm going to get saved. I want to make sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'll walk down front. You come right now. You say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I want to be saved. I want to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't want to follow the devil. He's the father of lies. I want to follow God. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come to Jesus today? Just step out and say, Preacher, I want to be sure I'm saved. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come right now? Except Christ. Why don't you come right now and say, Father, Preacher, I want to serve God today. I want to follow Lord and believer's baptism. You're here today and say, Preacher, I've been saved, baptized. I'd like to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Getting here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? I haven't followed Lord and believers baptism since I've been saved in deep water. Why don't you come? You're here today and say, Preacher, we want to become members of the church. This is what we want to be part of. You come right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts, Lord God, to do what is right and what is real. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I'm going to ask the ushers to come. I hope you prepared. We'll take an offering tonight, evening tonight, but you can be seated just for a second. Probably ought to leave you stay up there. You get your billfold better. But anyway, you're here today and say, Paul, we want to show Brother Richard how much we appreciate all his work. So if you could give today, that would be a wonderful thing.